open the House Committee on Land Use. Today is May 23rd, 2013. Going to open a work session on Senate Bill 462A. And I'm looking at the, hold on, I just got to make sure the dash 11s are the technical
correct
amendments.
Just make sure, yep.
Okay, so I'm looking for a motion on dash 11s.
For the technical amendments on 462.
Don't want to do that.
Sorry, just one second.
Yeah.
You stand at ease for a moment.
Do we need the 11s, too?
No, they're contained.
They're
sorry.
Contained.
So let me come back out of recess. The dash 11s are contained in the dash 12s, apparently. That's what I didn't realize. So, yes, I'm looking for a motion on the dash 12s.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I'll move the dash A12 amendments to Senate Bill 462A.
Representative Davis moves the dash 12 amendments to Senate Bill 462A. Discussion on the dash 12s.
Mr. Chair,
Vice Chair Cameron.
Thank you. I will be voting no on the dash 12s for concerns I have of a business that has gone way down the road of doing business in the state of Oregon, and this is going to put them in a very, very difficult position. I do understand the need to protect our children, but I think the base bill in the future would help that process, so I will be a no on the dash 12s.
Further discussion on the dash 12s. So I am not completely sold on them yet. I may change my mind later, but I'm not completely sold on them quite yet. But having said that, I know they're important to other members, so I think I am in a position of very awkward situation where I think I'm not going to vote for the amendments, but then I'm going to vote for the bill after the amendments are in there, and then I'll think about what to do once we get to the floor. Any other discussion? Okay, so dash 12's objections. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Adopted. We have no fiscal paperwork back on the bill, so we can't do anything further today. So I will close the work session on Senate Bill 462A. And I will carry over Senate Bill 462. Carry over the work session on Senate Bill 462A. Okay. Now, Senate Bill 841. Let's open our work session on Senate Bill 841. And I'm looking for a motion on these dash 14s.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the dash 14s to Senate Bill 841A.
Vice Chair Cameron moves the dash 14s to amendments to Senate Bill 841A. Any discussion? And these are the sort of technical in nature, but since we're in a work session, this is also a time where, Representative Hull, you want to talk about the larger issues. I'm sorry, I wasn't here the other day. So if you want to talk about the larger issues that are contained in...
The 14th adopted. Did we adopt the 14th?
No. But we got a motion on the floor, and I'm letting him talk about larger issues in the context of these amendments, too.
I think, Mr. Chair, I don't know if it's appropriate for me to talk about other amendments under the motion for this amendment, but I know that one of the issues involved in the A14s is that it does bifurcate the entire Willamette Valley from the rest of the state in terms of the permit system that's set up for special events, 7 through 18. And I, you know, having talked to a lot of people about this particular issue, I'm a little bit troubled why we would bifurcate, you know, all the counties inside of the Willamette Valley when mostly I've heard that the density issues in the Washington and Yamhill counties specifically, but mostly around the metro area have issues with the amount of events and the impact they're having on their neighborhoods, and am sort of perplexed by, I guess, the counties in those particular areas of not taking better action over those complaints and trying to establish some sort of enforcement over complaints about noise and other things. I just don't see the reasoning behind having a permit system in place for the entire Willamette Valley when the problem appears to me to be just centralized in that northern part of the dense areas. And so it seems like we're trying to solve a problem for the rest of the Willamette Valley that does not exist. And I worry that there are many wineries, though maybe not represented or voiced strong opinions inside the Wine Association, that will be impacted by having to go through a permit system that is a lot more cumbersome than just having the 18 events. I will note that we have reduced the amount of special events that can be held from 25 to 18 to try to mitigate potential problems. But again, I have not received any complaints in the county I'm from on this issue. And so I hesitate to, if we're going to divide the state up with two different systems, that we address it in the counties that are appropriate where the problem exists. If they become problems in the future, we can bring the whole state in, or we can bring in the specific counties where the complaints come from. If a county comes forward and says we have problems with this, can we add a county to going through this permit system? So that's sort of the position I have. I'm supportive of the A14s in every other respect.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Thank you. Representative Holby, Representative Unger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to speak in favor of the A14s. I think these amendments come to us after a long process that's included the entire industry across the entire state, and I know that the negotiations that have gone into these amendments have been difficult at times, and the compromise that are represented here with the A14s is a good one that is agreed upon by all parties, and I would encourage us not to only adopt the A14s, but then to move the bill without further amendments, because this compromise, as I said, was not easily come by, and I worry that by messing with the compromise and the consensus that was worked on in the Senate, that we might jeopardize the agreement moving forward, and then thereby jeopardize our ability to have what I think is a reasonable solution to the challenges that are posed by the tourism industry and intersecting with the agricultural industry. So I encourage an aye vote on these amendments, but also encourage us to move the bill after we've adopted these amendments and these amendments only.
Further discussion on these dash 14s. Okay. Any objection to the dash 14s? Seeing none, the dash 14s are adopted, and I will close the work session on Senate Bill 841 and carry over the work session on Senate Bill 841 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 77. Now, is Paloma going to talk to us?
She was ready.
Let's see what my little sign-up sheet says. Isn't that kind of exciting? I think we should. Well, you're not on the list, but... Well, how about Paloma, John Chandler, and Steve McCoy all come up? Yeah, that's what you get for showing up in the House Land Use Committee. Come on down.
Okay. I got a little menagerie of amendments, too. Do you want to talk about the base bill, amendments? I don't really care. You can talk about all of that in one if you want. John, I got you first. Would you like to lead it off in lieu of your senator?
I'll lead it off.
All right.
Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Paloma Sparks. I'm Senator Byers' policy advisor. We introduced Senate Bill 77 so many months ago. It has gone through a lot of changes. One of the main objectives, though, that remains in one of the amendments is tracking of LUBA appeals. So what type of projects are being appealed, who's appealing them, how are they being resolved, are they being remanded, are they being affirmed? So that's a good chunk of what's going on. There's some other policies that we had discussed about sort of trying to tighten the LUBA process. We're moving past those. So that's where we're at right now. I've worked with John Chandler on his amendments. We're fine with those amendments. I think that, again, it's just another thing of trying to make sure that the LUBA process and that the land use appeal process is working as efficiently as possible. If you have any questions.
Okay. Mr. Chandler, what do you know?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, John Chandler, Oregon Home Builders Association. I won't attempt to tell you what I know, Mr. Chairman, because I gave up knowing stuff a long time ago. I just suspect things now. Every now and again, I'll assume something. Here in support of the various amendments to Senate Bill 77, but let me give you the background noise, if you don't mind. We worked with Senator Beyer on Senate Bill 77 when it was being worked in the Senate side. When it came over to the House side, to my chagrin, I noticed that the part I'd been working on primarily in the Senate, unsuccessfully, I might add, the bill was amended when I wasn't paying enough attention in a way that we found somewhat distressing. We expressed that to Senator Beyer and to his staff. These amendments are an attempt to do several things. One, to address the part of Senate Bill 77A in gross that probably wouldn't work even if it were to pass the body, but to maintain the part of Senate Bill 77 that Paloma just spoke to in terms of LUBA reporting. And on that topic, every session we get bills in here dealing with LUBA appeals and LUBA process and LUBA this and that. One of the things we have not really done is what this bill will, I think, help us do, which is to actually analyze what is at LUBA, what kind of cases are there, and get some actual data, which might come in handy, although it's not near as entertaining as proceeding without data. The amendments in front of you today have their genesis in another bill entirely, and that was House Bill 2254, or more accurately, the work group that led up to House Bill 2254, which this committee worked on a few months ago and sent down to Ways and Means, where it is awaiting further proceedings. What Senate Bill 20 or House Bill 2254 did, that was the product of a big work group that the governor's office and the department convened to look at urban growth boundary processes, how they're analyzed, exclusive of Metro, how the studies are done, providing a different, hopefully faster and more expeditious path towards UGB analysis and expansion where warranted for most jurisdictions. In Oregon is sort of being, if you'll remember that testimony, the center of the bell curve. During that work group, a number of us raised the issue, because what that bill does that has historically not been the case is it'll send urban growth boundary decisions to the Land Use Board of Appeals, to LUBA, as opposed to the Land Conservation and Development Commission. So any appeal or further proceedings from the local level on a UGB, should 2254 pass, which I believe it will now go to LUBA. During that work group, several of us raised the issue about tightening up some standards at LUBA, since they're going to be dealing with urban growth boundary cases where they heretofore have not. That's what these amendments were designed to do. We raised them at the end of that work group. There was some issue concern about the relating clause, since the relating clause for 2254 was, I think, urban growth boundaries only and not LUBA. This bill obviously had a relating clause that we felt that would work with. Talk to Senator Beyer and his staff about putting these amendments forward. So with that bit of history as to how we got where we are, the amendments in front of you, the -7s, -8s, and -9s, and your staff put together a very nice chart comparing them. They all continue the LUBA reporting that Ms. Sparks mentioned. They differ in the following particulars, and I'll take them somewhat out of sequential order. The -8s essentially leave 77A and Gross with just the LUBA reporting piece. It takes out Section 3, which deals with consolidation of appeals. That's the part I mentioned earlier that wouldn't work even if it were to pass, and was frankly terrifying when I actually got around to reading it. That's a separate conversation. So the 8s would simply leave the LUBA reporting piece in. The dash 7s, now if you don't mind me again skipping out of order, the dash 7s maintain the LUBA reporting and add the concept of what I think is, and some of it on the land use bar think is already implicit in LUBA's authority, but there's some case law that would indicate to the contrary. We want to make it clear that LUBA, in an appropriate case, can affirm in whole or in part. So a case goes up to LUBA, they can remand, reverse, or affirm. What this would say, by the, you'll see the language simply says they can affirm in part, reverse in part, remand in part, if that's warranted. In many cases, that simply wouldn't be possible. A partial affirmation or partial reversal wouldn't necessarily be appropriate. In an urban growth boundary context, because there's sometimes going to be separate issues, and obviously since I represent the residential sector, if there's a UGB expansion with residential, commercial, and industrial, and the residential piece is fine, but the commercial industrial piece needs more work, we would like to be able to continue the residential piece and let the commercial industrial go back to the local government for further proceedings without holding up the ability to address needed housing issues through the UGB process. That's the intent of the dash 7s. The dash 9s also maintain the LUBA reporting. They also incorporate what I just told you about from the dash 7s, and they had another issue that, to be perfectly honest, may not be ready for prime time. We just got these a few minutes ago, probably about an hour or two back, from LC, so I haven't had a chance to analyze them. We sent them out to a few people for their review, haven't gotten any responses back from the department or the governor's office or anybody else. In April, the Court of Appeals decided the Hatley v. Umatilla County case came up from LUBA, and without getting into a bunch of legal mumbo-jumbo for you, there's a legal doctrine called law of the case, which says when a case is on appeal, the law of that case, you don't get to revisit issues once an appellate decision has been entered. And I'm simplifying somewhat here, but that the case, once decided, it stays decided, so there's a piece that's still undecided or unresolved on appeal. That piece can be talked about, not the entire case itself. We all thought in the land use bar that was the law prior to Hatley v. Umatilla County being decided. Court of Appeals saw it otherwise, and the Court of Appeals doesn't quite get to bat last, but does get to bat ahead of the land use bar, and so what they say rules, and right now the law in Oregon is, with at least with regard to legislative land use decisions, law of the case doesn't apply. What the dash 9s would do would be to say, no, it does too. For either quasi-judicial land use decisions or legislative land use decisions, that if LUBA or any other competent court or appellate body says, this part here is fine, we affirm ABC, go back and talk about DEF, that when it goes back to the local government for further proceedings to talk about DEF, they also don't talk about ABC, and you start the whole process over again. Obviously, again, in the urban growth boundary context, that we would prefer that not happen, simply because urban growth boundary expansions, even with 2254 simplification, are not likely to be all that simple. And once they're done, we'd like to have them, at least the parts that can stay done, stay in that status while we go back and arm wrestle about the parts that aren't done. Those are the amendments, Mr. Chair, members. I think the dash 7s, frankly, not that there's fiscals and we can't move them today, those are probably ready to go as written. The governor's office indicates no opposition. The department indicates no opposition. You may hear from some who are opposed, but by and large, I think those are the least, not only least objectionable, but probably the easiest to proceed with. The dash 9s probably could use further discussion. I'm not trying to talk you out of the dash 9s preemptively, but I think they may be tougher to get to this session simply because the context in which that might apply might be broader than simply the 2254 urban growth boundary appeals. With that's sort of the summary version of it. If we can get to agreement on the dash 9s in a further hearing, we'd like to move those forward. Failing that, we would like to move the dash 7s, and be glad to take any questions.
Okay, Steve.
Excuse me, I have a bit of a cold. Chair Clem, members of the committee, I am Steve McCoy, representing 1,000 Friends of Oregon. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in favor of the dash 8s and in opposition to the 7s and 9s. Mr. Chandler did an excellent job of describing what each of these does. The dash 8s remove Section 3, which is a section that was kind of gutted and stuffed there at the end over on the Senate side. We're not entirely comfortable with what's in Section 3. We feel like it's kind of fine as it is. There are some questionable bits to it. If it were removed from the bill, that would be fine with us. So adopting the Dash 8s and moving the bill so that just the tracking is in there would be great. The Dash 9s, as Mr. Chandler alluded, we haven't even seen that concept, the concept of that, much less the language, until about an hour ago. The Dash 7s, however, apparently they were discussed, the concept of them was discussed in the work group for HB 2254. However, we didn't see language for those until about 26 hours ago. It's a lot to digest over such a short amount of time. I feel like the case law is clear. In 1992, the Court of Appeals decided in DLCD v. Columbia County that LUBA cannot remand in part and affirm in part. And ever since then, LUBA has followed this decision. I agree with Mr. Chandler that partial remands could be a good thing in some circumstances, but they can also be a bad thing in some circumstances. We see this affecting phase developments where, for example, a phase one could move forward with while a phase two is remanded. This puts a city in a very awkward place where if the infrastructure, for example, is what is being done as part of phase one, then actually building the houses in phase two, and that's still undergoing litigation, puts the local government in a difficult place, and they'd be highly motivated to approve phase two then. In fact, this fact pattern has played out before. In Welch v. City of Portland, the developer asked that part of the decision be affirmed so that work on one phase could start while the subsequent phases underwent review. If LUBA had done this, then Portland would have been put in a very difficult position with a partially completed project awaiting partial review. Also, for legislative decisions, work could start on some parcels potentially that are not disturbed by the remand, while other parcels would be in limbo, which could cause haphazard growth in islands within UGBs and incorporated areas. This has also played out before in both Damascus v. Happy Valley and in Morseman v. City of Madras, which were annexations that took place where certain parcels were apparently improperly annexed, and would a partial remand make sense then? Because then you would end up with potentially islands within your annexed area, which is difficult and uncomfortable for everyone. Partial remands could also set up strange circumstances. In 7th Street Station v. Corvallis, the developer wanted to remove a planned development overlay and rezone from residential to industrial. The city decided that removing the overlay made no sense without the rezone to industrial. The rezone was remanded, but the overlay removal would have not made sense without it. So since it was completely remanded, the whole thing held together and made sense. However, a partial remand could have, if it was possible, then we could have ended up with oddly zoned lot, I guess. And then also, even for UGB amendments, if you have a situation where LUBA, for example, affirmed the residential and industrial parts for the industrial lands for the UGB and the residential lands for the UGB and remanded the commercial, then the city goes back, says, well, gosh, this is a fact-bound decision. What we're going to do is we're going to change some of our documents. We're going to change our economic opportunities analysis so that there's less industrial employment and more commercial employment. Well, now the industrial is already within the UGB, and now you're taking a second bite at the apple with the same jobs, essentially, and bringing more commercial in. We're fine with the data gathering part of the bill and removing Section 3, so what's in the A8s. The partial remand language in the A7s and the A9s we are uncomfortable with, at least at this point. Again, I do think that partial remand could be a fine thing in some circumstances and not in others. And that's what we need to do, is work on language together to try to address the issues that need to be addressed without overturning well-established apple carts. So off the cuff on the extending the law of the case doctrine to legislative decisions, legislative changes have interdependent parts. If the underlying documents change due to a remand and the facts have changed, and just because something is okay under one set of facts, it may not be okay under another set of facts. It's a very large change, we feel, to make at the very last minute. So again, we would support the A8s and oppose the 7s and 9s. Thank you.
Okay, questions? And remind me, A8s, how did you feel about the A8s? I know you like 7s and 9s as well.
A8s are dandy, the 7s are dandier, and the 9s are dandier.
Are they in conflict? Could we do 8s and then we talk, you know, we're not, if we don't do anything, they talk over the, you know, week, not weekend, but well, you, the three of us could go fishing. We'll need sunscreen for our heads, obviously, for Memorial Day. Oh. This is what land use does to us.
Mr. Chairman, another dream come true.
Yeah. We've got till next Thursday. You don't have to spend the weekend with me in the rain on the Umpqua. It's not that bad. It really is not that bad.
Be still my heart, Mr. Chair and members. That's the best offer I've had today. They are independent. The
okay.
piece in the 8s is also picked up in the 7s and 9s. I'd leave it to your discretion okay. as to how to proceed. I think you could certainly adopt the 8s if you wanted to, then you come around later and adopt the 7s or 9s. Or
okay.
You wouldn't want to adopt both, all three of them. That'd be silly.
Yeah, okay. We're never silly in this committee.
Quite
yeah,
so.
I'm glad you respect our level of seriousness in this committee. Okay, questions? Why is everyone laughing? Questions for this panel? Okay, I don't know how this committee
could
got
Mr. Chandler out. Repeat his testimony?
Okay, I think you three are free, and Peggy breathlessly made it in time to weigh in on Senate Bill 77A.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Just so that the committee knows, the Land Conservation and Development Commission is meeting today, all day. Oh, I'm sorry. Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. LCDC is meeting today, and one of the things that I do for the League is follow the work of the Commission, because they implement your laws, and so it's important to know, first of all, how you make your laws, and then how they're implemented, and then eventually I also talk to people on the ground in local communities to actually really see true implementation. So you have my testimony, you have the League's testimony, I believe, I think it was dated May 9th, as this has moved along. The important part to me, and I have not had a chance to really review the three amendments that just came out recently. I was over at the commission meeting. The important thing for us is the gathering of the data. You hear anecdotal issues around appeals all the time, but there are hundreds, actually thousands of land use decisions that happen around this state, most of which are not appealed. As a matter of fact, the director's report for LCDC says between March 12th and April 26th, the department received copies of 15 recently issued LUBA opinions. Of these, LUBA dismissed 4, remanded 6, reversed none, affirmed 3, remanded in part and transferred none, invalidated none, and transferred 2 petitions to circuit court. 2 decisions concern, and this is where they go into, two decisions concern the application of a land use law. So then they share that with the commission to know whether the commission should be addressing an issue that LUBA brought forward. Appeals are not something that citizens do lightly. A private citizen who feels so strongly that an error has occurred that they take the step to go to LUBA puts both significant money and time into that effort. They may do this because there's a particular development near them, or they may feel that the decision errs in interpreting the local plan, and we are the people who actually enforce the local plans, because the enforcement by it is a citizen complaint driven system. There is very little local government enforcement of land use plans. Our local comprehensive plans and development codes are approved by one set of local decision makers, but oftentimes is a long time between those decisions. And new local officials may not have been a part of those comp plans and development code decisions. So that's another reason for asking for an interpretation of a comp plan or development code. LUBA provides a mechanism for addressing concerns related to local land use decisions in a timely manner. Their mission is to simplify the appeals process, speed the resolution of land use disputes, and provide consistent interpretation of state and local land use laws. And so I would ask that at least the minimum part of Senate Bill 77, the collection of data, should move forward. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer questions.
Any questions for Peggy?
Chair.
Yeah.
I apologize. I think I probably have questions for the previous panel if they're still available.
So any for Peggy?
Is Steve still around?
He's with me?
Yeah. Then we'll let Peggy go. And
you both look the same.
Blending together. The bulk guy.
Yeah. I'll be there soon enough.
Well, the whole panel. Actually, you too. John, if you're available too, it'd be great. Thanks.
Come back then.
Yeah.
You're fine. The question is, I actually emailed 4 land use attorneys about this bill when we had the base bill. I know that that's not being considered. But the issue is still raised among practice. And these were attorneys that represent sort of both sides, developers, and one's a former Thousand Friends attorney. A concern was raised actually by the former Thousand Friends attorney that the reporting requirement that everybody seems to want in the bill still is kind of an unfunded mandate on LUBA, and does it really provide a benefit consummate with the burden on LUBA, because this is going to take staff time that will not be devoted to timely deciding appeals, and does it provide
come back up, Peggy, if she wants to be asked to.
I follow the budget.
So my question is, has LUBA been consulted about what this is going to do for them?
Chair Clem, members of the committee, I remain Steve McCoy, representing the Council of Friends Board. And I believe that this bill has, what's the term, Peggy? It's not a fiscal on it, but a inconsequential fiscal or something like that. And so I guess LUBA has been asked the question and has responded that it's not an issue for them. I had the same question. I assumed, frankly, it was going to Ways and Means after this.
Yeah.
That's why I looked at the fiscal.
We don't think we have any fiscal paperwork back on anything.
Oh, really?
Well, we did on the base bill.
Yeah, on the amendments.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, so this is the base bill.
But the base bill still contains the
reporting requirements.
Right.
Yeah. And a bunch of stuff that nobody likes.
Right. And Section 3, yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that answers your question or if that would be best directed at LUBA.
Okay. So, Chair Clem, Representative Davis, I follow the Natural Resource Agency budgets, as one of your members knows. And this issue was brought up during at least my testimony on the LUBA budget. And the word that I keep hearing is that because they already collect much of this, that it should not be a substantial burden. We also, however, assuming that it passes both chambers, added their staff attorney back so that they will have some additional time. We suggested that they actually get an intern to set up the system, and once the system is set up, all you have to do is plug it into the database.
Yeah, technology always sounds that easy, but it
did
rarely
is. Did you declare a conflict of interest? Did you declare a conflict? You want to be the intern, I assume.
Absolutely not. I have enough to do, but thank you very much. I figured that some Willamette law person interested in land use would be interested. But it is not something that we have, it is something that we have thought about, and it has been brought up during conversations. John?
Nothing to add, Mr. Chair, members. I think LUBA's obviously looked at the bill as it came out of the Senate and didn't see a problem.
Maybe we could invite LUBA for when we work the bill and Okay. If we work the bill, I should say. I'm not going to presume anything.
Okay, any more questions? So again, just to make it clear, this is one of those times where no one's happy, but we move the base bill. No, sorry, I lost track of where I was at. Well, sometimes they say if the left and the right, you
where's the boat leaving from?
Yeah, okay. Okay, so let's close the public hearing, open a work session for the purposes of the dash eights.
Mr. Chair, move the dash eights to Senate Bill 77A.
Vice Chair Cameron moves the dash eights to Senate Bill 77A. Any discussion? Any objections? So adopted. And seeing as we have no paperwork and no consensus quite yet, and it's going to be a long Memorial Day weekend for them and me, I will close the work session on Senate Bill 77A and carry over the work session on 77A. And again, for the record, we've carried over all three work sessions till next Tuesday. And I hope everyone has a lovely holiday weekend. Anything else for the good of the order? You probably all want to get started on it right now, so let's close our committee.